This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, good morning. Let's talk about it. Game four ends with a no-call. Great crowd. Everybody's in a great mood. They're playing well, and they're down now. 3-1. Going back to New York. And I get it if you're frustrated. The league openly admits they got it wrong. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anybody any good now. You can't walk Tim Hardaway back out to the free throw line and see if he can win it. It's over. They lost. So if you're fired up about it, we've got the open lines, 248-539-9797. I'm not fired up about the call because I think the Pistons got exactly what they wanted. We are bumps and bruises, swallow the whistle, play hard, play tough. We can do this. Well, you had an 11-point fourth quarter lead in front of a great crowd, by the way. White towels whipping and defense chants. And you had an 11-point lead on your home floor. Cade's got the ball with 11 seconds to go. Cade, who I like, missed the shot. And we want to be bailed out by a bump in the corner. We want to have the game decided by free throws. That's not what Pistons fans have been telling us. That's not what the organization preaches. If it ain't rough, it ain't right. Swallow the whistle. We'll play and we'll win it or we won't. So I do not have some outrage today about the call. I'll acknowledge it's a foul like the league did. If you're in your feelings about it, we can talk through it. John, I just don't have that outrage today for it. They got what they wanted. They don't want that called. They want to play physical basketball. Make the shot if you're Cade Cunningham. Yeah, don't whimper. Because I'm getting a little of that from Pistons fan today. We're whimpering. Give us the call. Please, pretty please, give us the... We've never complained about the call.
No, no. They're not saying give us the call. They're saying that was a foul.
We don't
give us anything.
We don't want that call. We only want it called when it's our team. And that's hypocritical.
Well, I think we don't want Jaylen Brunson's getting that call.
If it's Brunson, we don't want it called, though.
But he's getting that call.
But we don't want that called. We got exactly what we wanted.
This was a game that was officiated and allowed to be physical. So in that regard, yeah, when it comes down to that, but it was a blatant foul. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it all comes down to that. It appeared because that's the last shot of the game. And if he is called, does Tim Hardaway go and at least sink two of the three to win the game or at least put them up? Yeah. But there were missed shots throughout the course of the game. There were 17 turnovers throughout the course of the game where if it's only 16, do they win? We have no way of knowing, but they had plenty of opportunity throughout the course of that game. You mentioned it. They were up 11 in the fourth quarter. This is a team that has failed to put, even in their one win, they had a big lead. It evaporated, and they had to go to late game heroics to seal it, to win it. Game one should have been a win for the Pistons. It wasn't. Why? Because they let a fourth quarter lead evaporate. Same thing in this one. A fourth quarter lead evaporated. These are tough lessons to be learned. So there's more reasons why they lost this game other than a foul that should have been called at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, even with Hardaway, the end of the third quarter, he has a play that he dunks if he lays it in. He gets it in before the buzzer, and that's two more points for the Pistons, right? I think a common theme in this has been turnovers, rough fourth quarters. Again, the NBA playoffs, you got to be able to score in the half court. This team's a bad half-court offense. Some of that is they don't have a true number two. The Knicks did, right? Karl Anthony Towns hits a big shot on the baseline over the backboard, right? Mm-hmm. Just a ridiculous shot. And then he hits a step-back three over Durin. Their guys, plural, and they have multiple options, hit big shots. Our guy Cade doesn't have the help, missed the shot he normally makes, and the Pistons lost. They were one play short. And I know that's hard to accept. It's much easier to say, just give us the call. We missed the shot, but give us another couple free throws and we win the game. this is not the identity of the Pistons organization. It's not the identity of the fan base. We want to play physical, swallow-the-whistle basketball. And that's what we got. We got what we asked for, and we just didn't make enough plays.
But what has JB been complaining about all season long? And we haven't heard a lot from the players. The fact that Cade doesn't get calls. The Pistons don't get calls. This is another example of them not getting a call.
So let us know. I know it's on your mind. And being at that game, I get it. Being super upset in the moment. You slept on it. You wake up today. Do you look at it and go, oh, this is more on the Pistons than it is getting hung up on a bad call. And it was a bad call at the end of the game. 248-539-9797. Can you look in the mirror, or is this, you're still seeing red after yesterday? Because I understand seeing red after yesterday.
This idea of this is the physicality that they wanted, so don't complain about it. Now, I would say this and push back on it with this. There's a difference between the physicality of fighting in the post, looking for position, out on the perimeter, going in one-on-one with the guy, trying to generate space. Once you go up for your shot, that's different. I feel like it is different than the on-the-floor positioning stuff.
Yeah.
Once you're up in the air and you're contacted body to body, I think that is a much more egregious or much more different level of physicality. That's not, we're asking for that to not get called.
So when I watched the replay, I was thinking, did he slap his arm? Was there something like high? No, it was kind of like a hip check, like a body check, like a bump.
Yeah, and there's an official right on the baseline looking right at him.
Yeah.
What's he looking at? I think that's what everybody wants to know. What is that official looking at?
I feel like we are sports fans, and we are used to, at the end of games, you don't want to see it decided at the free throw line, right? I mean, no one's new here to sports, basketball, or otherwise. We typically don't want it settled with a call. We want you to either make the play or don't make the play. Well, and I think this city specifically would appreciate that.
We have had this discussion at the end of Lions games where, you know, hey, a call's not made. We've had it at the end of a Super Bowl when we don't like the call that was made. You don't want officials to be inserting themselves at that time.
Right.
I'm never going to sit there and tell you that an official's call is the direct the loss is a direct result of official's call, except for a pass interference that happened in the New Orleans and Rams game. That one was the worst call in the history of calls. However, I do look at this as there were plenty of opportunity for the Pistons to win this game, to not allow it to come down to an officiated call.
So the thing is, though, that Rams-Saints game back there that you're talking about, and I think it's one of the worst calls ever in sports, but there was plays that could have been made still. The game went to OT.
Sure.
I mean, the problem...
And I think the Saints even got the ball first in that overtime, if I remember correctly.
Right, but, you know, the pushback from yesterday for me is this. Look, bigger picture, they have huge problems. But if they just make the right call, which they admitted was the wrong call and that they missed it, Tim Hardaway goes to the line with what? Like 0.5 or less left?
Yeah, he wins the game.
And he has three free throws, and he's an 85% free throw shooter, and if he makes two, they win. A probability of that is probably 90-plus percent, and the series is tied 2-2. All the warts aside, all the other problems that went wrong in the game, if that happens and they make the right call, they win. Now, do I still think they win the series? No. They can't close in a fourth. They've scored 69 points, I think it is, in three losses in the series in the fourth quarter. I mean, they're collapsing. They choke a little bit. That's a strong word around here, right? But if you just apply the right call yesterday, we're sitting here 2-2.
I agree. I mean, that's where and the ramifications for the series. 2-2 going back to New York is it's totally different than being down 3-1 going back to New York.
Best of three. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, you watch four games, and I think, John, there's an appreciation for what Karl Anthony Towns gives the Knicks, what he just did in two straight road games after a no-show in game two.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have that Karl Anthony Towns. Even if Isaiah Stewart gets healthy and presents a better mismatch, we do not have a Karl Anthony Towns to put with our Jalen Brunson.
Right.
To put with our number one lead guard.
Well, we were hoping that Malik Beasley, like he did in game one, would be that compliment, that scoring compliment, the sixth man that would help this team. And he just hasn't been as effective in games two, three, and four as he was in game one. And he has not been as effective as he was throughout the course of the season. 13 points, that's not going to get it done. That's not enough support.
And it's tough because there's stretches where you're right. Yeah, he can shoot him into some games. Or Tobias Harris for a pinch helped him get back into that game at the end of the second quarter. But at the end of the game, you don't have... Tobias Harris isn't Karl-Anthony Towns.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've watched enough of this series to see that. Where are you guys at? It's not 2-2. It's 3-1. And the call, league's admitted they got it wrong. It's 97-1. Guys, if something's not going your way, you find yourself in a car accident, you're going to look for someone who's got your back. And that's KG Law. There's a law firm out there that really and truly cares about you. Lawrence KG and his team, it's not just their phone number, 877-KG-CARES. It's how they run their business. They don't cut corners. They've staffed up over 10 lawyers, 35 legal professionals on staff. They don't skimp to save money. Instead, they're equipped with the manpower to get you the biggest settlement possible and keep working your case. You're not going to be left in the dark. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. Visit kgcares.com. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com. JB Bickerstaff, letter of the law, should have been a foul. The league quickly after the game saying, yeah, upon review, that's a foul. Should have been free throws for Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
He makes two, Pistons win. It's 2-2. Instead, they're down 3-1. You got a lot of people hot and bothered about that call yesterday. Open lines, 248-539-9797. You want to vent about it, the space is there for you. Hardaway gets bumped. Not going to dispute, that's a foul. But it's the last play of the game. We see this very often. They do not want a game decided with free throws. And I would think the Pistons, specifically, tough and rough and swallow the whistle, let us go to work Pistons, wouldn't be sitting here complaining about it. They'd point to Cade missing the shot. They'd point to an 11-point lead that evaporated in 8 minutes at home with a great crowd.
It's
but those things don't get talked about, though.
It's all part of it. It's part of why they lost was... the evaporation of an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. Part of why they lost was Cade missing a shot with 7 seconds, wide open from you know the free throw line. Part of it is also Tim Hardaway got fouled and it wasn't called. It's part of the answer. It's each one by itself is not the reason, but you put them all together and that's why they lost.
And I understand we've watched this series. That's a play you're going, Brunson would have got that call, right? He would have baited it worse. He'd have tried to jump.
It probably would have been the flop at the end that would have got the call.
Yeah, and I get being frustrated, but I'm trying to keep it fair here. If we don't think that should be called, we don't think leaning into guys and getting bumped on jumpers should just be rewarded with free throws all the time, then we don't want that play to be called at the end of the game. I get it hurts our team, and that's hard to accept. We don't want those bailouts. We want our guy to make his shot in the final 10 seconds and win the game outright,
but
not have it settled at the free throw line.
Is for it to be officiated equally. So if they're going to call that when Jalen Brunson's shooting, why not call it when Tim Hardaway's shooting?
The same officials don't ref every game. Game 4 was refed without... a lot of calls. They were letting a lot go in that game. That game was consistently officiated without making those bumps and calls all night long.
And with it being more physical, you look to some of the stats that talk about the physicality. It's rebounds. And the Pistons out-rebounded them 54-38.
Mm-hmm.
So you have opportunity there. The other thing that could be talked about is, and some of it's physicality, some of it's just intensity, or lack of focus, it's the 17 turnovers that the Pistons had versus, you know, the what was it, 10 by New York. Like, that is a major reason why it's another reason. I don't want to say a major reason. It's another reason.
Ticket Texter says, I don't care. The Pistons deserve to lose the game. The point is that call cost us the game, period, signed Cooper. Porte Costa, we want that call. Great game. They made the shots down the stretch. We didn't. Hopefully we learn to finish next year. Signed, Ox and Clawson. Cookies, are you a Knicks fan? Yes, we play physical, but the idea we don't want to foul because we play physical is the stupidest thing you've said in years. It's quite a high bar. Ultimately, who cares? This playoff thing is house money anyway. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. Well, I don't want to say that.
No. It always matters. But it is disappointing that it wasn't called.
Play better, keep the refs out of it. Suck it up, Buttercup, from an unnamed ticket texter. This is Detroit versus everybody. The Lions have been robbed numerous times. Only fitting the Pistons have to deal with it too.
Well, it's not like this is the first time. I mean, go back to the Bad Boys. Everybody wants to relate this team to the Bad Boys. I mean, you got the infamous no foul. Foul, no foul. Phantom foul.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like this hasn't happened to a Detroit Pistons team before.
I just can observe Lions fans.
There was actually contact on this one, though.
Yeah, exactly. Lions fans for years complained about officiating, right? And there are some blatant misses, right? Refs screw things up. I have found that teams who typically lose can find a call or two to put all their blame. And when you win, we don't look back and go, yeah, that call in the third quarter should have been PI, right? So it really is the behavior of losing teams that dwell on a blown call over the course of the game.
I'm not going to paint this team as a losing team. Yes, they lost the game, but they're
teams
not
teams that lose. Teams that lose have more opportunity to blame officials.
JB was right to criticize the call.
Sure, the league admitted they got it wrong.
But I don't think that he's going to look at the rest of the game and say, that's the only reason we lost the game.
No. My point is just take the Pistons out of it, big picture. Typically, the teams that complain about, like teams that win, don't look back and complain because they find ways to win through calls that aren't perfect throughout the course of the game. It is the behavior of a losing organization that gets fixated on blown calls.
So you're calling this a losing organization?
If they're going to get fixated on it, or they could pick themselves up and use a much better effort to finish the basketball game. I mean, those are your two choices, right? Which do you prefer?
There was no way for them to pick themselves up and finish the basketball game because there was a half a second left on the clock.
We woke up, it's a new day. Are you going to dwell on it or are you going to finish and close out games? Those are your two choices. And don't laugh at this. This is important. As an organization, you have a choice.
Important.
You have a choice. You can wallow in it or you can say, no, we have to make more plays to win the game.
Okay, so on Tuesday night, we'll see how they respond.
Sure.
But I'm not going to call it prior to the season. Yes, losing organization. But I'm not going to sit there and call this organization right now a losing organization. I don't know that they're going to fixate on this. They were right to comment on it after the game. They were asked the question. There's other reasons why they lost the 17 turnovers. That's part of the reason. Yeah. Cade Cunningham not making a shot. You could go back to a number of missed shots. You've brought up Tim Hardaway and the dunk at the end of, what was it, the third quarter.
Yeah.
All of those reasons are reasons why this game was lost by the Detroit Pistons.
This whole time you're just so mad that they've hijacked what could be a day talking about the Tigers. We'll make some time for them today and this week. They continue to play winning ball. We're going to get to Shedeur Sanders, the free fall that fixated everybody over the weekend. Maybe there's just an easy explanation. But first, Heather with the news.
Well, I want to start with Shedeur Sanders as well. So the mystery of how he was prank called during the NFL draft has been solved. So on Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons confirmed the 21-year-old son of defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich was behind the prank after he came across the number of Sanders' special draft phone, right? So the Falcons released an apology, and Jax Ulbrich also released this public apology on social media, and he said that he was sorry, you know, he took away from a very important moment. I mean, it's a pretty epic prank.
Yeah, it's a cruel prank, though.
But it's very cruel. Like, when I heard about it, I was like, oh, it wasn't one of them. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, oh, that's sad. That's kind of sad. So, I mean, pretty crazy, though, that he saw it. I read that he saw the phone number on, like, an open tablet. Just saw the number, took it back home with him, and was like, this is going to be funny. Let's do it.
I don't think it's funny at all.
No.
But there were other players that it's being reported now that were prank called.
By the same guy?
Well, we don't know. I'm not saying that, but Tyler Warren, who didn't have to wait long. He waited till he was, 14th pick. But it's being reported, and a number of different organizations are reporting it, but the one I'm looking at is Athlon's, that he was called at 7. When the Jets were on the clock. And I'm told Warren's camp believes it was the same number and or area code involved in the Shedeur Sanders prank on Friday night. So I think there's more to be explored.
So how do you discipline this guy? Like, sorry.
I mean, it's not like he committed a crime. No, there's no discipline for the guy.
He's an adult.
But it goes to the protocols for the teams
Yeah.
And the data that they have, meaning phone numbers.
You could find the Falcons organization for this info getting out, maybe.
I'm sure the league something probably like has something that they could do for this, but it'll be interesting to see if any of these other ones, because there's been a couple reported prank calls.
It's awful. It's awful. I'm going to keep talking about Shador because his whole draft drama might have actually made a really big impact on Friday night's draft viewership. So obviously the first round of the draft is really the most watched part of the event, right? But plenty of people were still tuned into the weekend, likely because of Shador.
Oh, yeah.
So the first round drew 13.6 million people, which is a lot. It was the second highest ever, but viewership remained high for the second day. There were 7.3 million watching on day two, and that's a 40% increase over last year's day two coverage. And while obviously there's no like definitive way of finding out why.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
It's one of the reasons, right? For sure. Pretty interesting. You guys, two suspects have been taken into custody after the body of a missing teen was found over the weekend. 17-year-old London Thomas, last seen on April 5th when she was dropped off at her boyfriend's house in Inkster. Well, after weeks of searching, she was found dead on Saturday in Southfield. Police say they have two suspects in custody who are believed to be involved in her disappearance, but they are not releasing any information on what circumstances led to her death. Be on the lookout because police across Metro Detroit will be cracking down on distracted driving this week. And it's all part of this effort called Operation Ghost Rider.
Ooh.
So you might not actually be able to be on the lookout because the CEO of National Transportation Safety Organization says unmarked spotter vehicles are going to be on the lookout for these distracted drivers. And when they see you, they're going to then make that phone call to a fully marked unit, which will then pull you over for that traffic stop. And they say the point is not to hand out ticket after ticket. The point is obviously to change driver behavior.
Sure.
Yep.
Yes. But sweet name for it, though.
Operation Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah, that sounds badass.
Finally, the world's first ever sperm race has crowned a winner.
Oh,
you remember this?
Yeah.
The event happened in LA Friday night with a student from USC going up against a guy from UCLA. There were three heats. They were tied for two. But then the student from USC, Tristan Milker, came out.
Milker.
I'm sorry,
yes,
what?
Yes, that's what they say his last name was.
Yeah, and he's a Trojan? That one didn't work.
Came out victorious. He took home a $10,000 prize. So the event did leave a lot of people questioning, was it really legitimate? Like, were we really watching this, or was this all just like CGI and staged? A lot of people think that
it
was just...
They gave away 10 grand for it.
They did. And there was 4,000 people who watched it live. And this thing was like a true event. They had press conferences. They had a halftime show, a performer.
What was the halftime show?
It was a rapper. I can't remember the guy's name, but he performed.
Oh my God.
They made a big deal out of this. There was undercard. Yeah, it was a...
How? Undercard?
Yeah, there was an...
there was a race before the race?
So there was actually four guys. Yes, there was a race before the race.
Three heats. Did they have a couple hours in between?
And I don't know how all that worked, but...
All right, then.
Yes.
Heather with the news. Coming up next. You're right. There was a lot of people fixated on Shador Sanders and just how far was he going to fall. He goes in the fifth round, and everybody was looking for reasons. Maybe there's a pretty obvious reason. It's...
Mm-hmm.
Get to it next, 97.1.
Hey, if you don't like the way you look, especially in pictures, now's the time to take action. Before we get to the summer months, do you avoid being in those pictures? Or maybe you try and position yourself in the back. You could lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days. That's right. Lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days with Ideal You. I know this program really works because I actually lost 50 in those 40 days with Ideal You. Book today, and Ideal You is going to give you a free body composition analysis. That's $150 value, absolutely free. Here's what you're going to find out. All the stats. We love stats as sports fans. Everything about your body. How much fat do you have? Obviously, you want to know that. How much water weight, bone mass, muscle mass, all of that stuff. And they're going to assign you a weight loss coach to help you along with the entire process. Design a weight loss program that works for you. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us. Ideal You is different than other weight loss companies because it works and it works fast. Lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy to have your picture taken again. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us to get your body composition analysis. $150 value, absolutely free.
Not happy about it. Ticket Texter said there was a basketball game. I was doing my Jansen impression. I was in the backyard smoking some ribs and watching Scooble pitch.
Yeah, that's a great Sunday.
It's Robert Nakar.
And it was a great Sunday yesterday because Scooble was on fire.
11 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Shutout.
And the bats, the defense, it was all there for the Tigers.
8-2 on this homestand. First place in the American League. The best team in the AL. It's a good feeling to wake up to.
It is.
Not a great feeling if you wake up and saw the Pistons lost. And there's a lot you can point to, and people were pointing to that final call that the league admitted they got wrong. It was the game with the least fouls called in the entire series, which I would argue is what we wanted. Let's get to the phones. Let's get to Tim in Flushing. Tim, you're on 97.1.
Morning. So a couple things. One, I disagree with your losing franchise tag. This is they don't complain. Because there are three coaches I can point to that complain consistently. One was Phil Jackson. One was Steve Kerr. And the other was Craig Popovich. All three of those guys complained consistently. That's my first thing. My second thing is one of the most important things about officiating is that you cannot affect the outcome of a game. And the NBA is a game of tenths of seconds, especially going down. I mean, the game doesn't start, in my view, until the last 2 minutes of the game in the NBA. You could be down like 20 and they could come back and win. You know, so, I mean, in my view, those guys, they affected the outcome of a game. They really did. If you see a foul and you've been calling it, call it.
My point to you would be that they weren't calling that stuff. Again, there were only, I think, 17 fouls apiece, the fewest calls of any game in the series. That game had been consistently officiated to let bumps go, play through, swallow the whistle, and on the last play of a game, officials in all sports tend to err on the side of, we're not going to make that call to decide the game. We'll let the players decide it, which is what Detroit wants. We got what we wanted. Our team didn't make enough plays.
Well, we'd like the obvious calls to be called, and it was obvious. And it was official literally on the baseline looking right at him. Now, is it the only reason they lost that game? No. And that's where I think people really start to, you know, like the morning after, you could still bitch and moan about it right now. And if you want to call in, we'll listen and you can work your way through it. It's not the only reason. It's a reason, not the only reason. You could then back it up and say, well, Cade had an open shot from the free throw line. With 7 seconds. If he hits that one, now it doesn't, obviously still time left on the clock. New York could do something. Who knows what happens at that point? It's 17 turnovers. It's missed shots throughout the course of the game. It's missed opportunities. All of those.
Yeah, it's starting slow at home, taking the crowd out of it. Now they got the crowd back into it, which is why it's so frustrating to lose because you're up 11. Crowd's whipping the towels. Detroit basketball, defense, chance. You got them right where you want them. You just got to close this thing out on your home floor with the wind at your back, right? That crowd kind of pushes you. And the Knicks hit big shots. Karl-Anthony Towns hit two tremendous shots in the last 2 minutes of that game. The Pistons, Cade had the open look. Cade, who we all love, missed the open look. And I thought he took it a little too early because I'm thinking, oh no, because if he makes it, they're going to have a chance to answer. But it worked out that there was enough time for Hardaway to catch the ball, do a shot fake, and try to get up with it. Wherever you're at today, we'll take those phone calls. 248-539-9797. Kyle and Canton, you're on 97.1.
Hey, morning, boys. We were at the game. We've been to game three and game four. I mean, if history repeats itself, we're getting better. So they don't let us tie. So we got game five, and we'll look to game six. But I'm not a ref blamer. You keep saying that we wanted this. We never wanted this. We wanted the games to be officiated correctly. Brunson had like 30 points in game three. He went to the free throw line 13 times, had 26 free throw opportunities. That's wild. So we're just looking for, I mean, I coach basketball. Yeah. We're just looking for a game that is officiated the same from the beginning to the end. I know
that
you're saying this game was, but this series has not been.
Agreed on that
so
point,
stop
Kyle.
Stop focusing on that game. It doesn't matter. What we're saying is call the game right from start to end, from game one to game seven. Let us get there. Don't decide it for us. They decided that game by not making the call. That was the decision. So understand that is what happened. I'm not blaming the refs. We had our opportunity.
Right.
But we did not take advantage of them. I get that. Young team. Our starting five is like, what, younger than Michigan State starting five? We're younger than most college basketball teams. This is a wild ride. I still got us in seventh. So buckle up. This is not over.
Hey, take game five, get back home game six, keep it going. That was going to be my point. Game four was officiated consistently, not the same way that game two was or that game one was. And that frustration, I totally understand.
And I mean, so if you're looking at, you know, free throw discrepancies, I mean, the Knicks had 18 and the Pistons had 17. There weren't any discrepancies there. In fact, Jalen Brunson only shot two free throws.
I think a big reason the Pistons got in that game, by the way, that late second quarter, third quarter surge came from just kind of letting things go. Pistons are not a half-court team, so if you let them get stops on defense, they can run, they can score in transition, they can get a little pull-up jumper. Beasley starts going a little bit. They got back in that game because the refs just kicked their feet up and said, hey, you guys just go to work, man. Let's Bad Boys Redux going to work. You guys go to work. We're not gonna get in the way. You guys make your shots or don't make your shots. Towns did. Cade didn't. Goodbye. You lose.
And when it comes down to it, I mean, I think we all believe that Cade is the best player in this series. However, he's not performed as the best player in this series. Jalen Brunson has outscored him every game.
I think some of this is he has to be the first and second best player on his own team, where Brunson can defer to Towns at the end and vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, when you get step back threes by your big man, and your big man goes 5 of 7 behind the arc, like that's a weapon.
Yeah,
that's a clear weapon.
It's tough is what it is, because those shots are tough makes, and he hit them at the end of the game. We'll keep taking phone calls on the Pistons. 248-539-9797. We do need to get into this Shador stuff as well. I know that was a huge storyline. You have big opinions on it. I have some thoughts on it as well. Why did he fall? Let's take one more phone call. Let's go to Clarkston. Steven, you're on 97.1. Or Stefan, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, guys. So, hey, Jim, you're right. We don't want things called. But what we don't want called is getting the defender up in the air as the defender goes straight up in the air and the shooter jumps into him before he shoots the ball. In this case, Tim Hardaway does not jump into Josh Hart. Josh Hart, as he jumps up, which is fine, he reaches over him and commits the contact. That's a foul. And just like anything else that we've gone to in pro sports, whether I agree with it or not, there should be somebody in Secaucus that looks at that, because they came out after the game, literally 5 minutes after, and said there was a foul. There should be somebody that chimes down and says the game cannot end like this.
You're right. Let's I think the issue. You're right. I think the issue that they'll point to is we can't reverse a non-call. But you're right. I had the thought in the moment. Why don't we just, hey, everybody, take five. We're going to look at the replay and make the best call possible. It's wild to me that we don't do that in those moments, because then you're right. We avoid all this.
And you know what? Don't do it in the regular season. Have it for the playoffs, because the games mean that much more. As you stated earlier, this could have been a 2-2 series. And now pretty much, and I'm not saying, listen, that shot, that foul call does not eliminate the Pistons. There's still another game to play. But like you said, the difference of 2-2 and 3-1, and the Pistons have their shortcomings, and they did stuff to themselves, and I get that. But, I mean, that is a huge, you know, pivotal moment in this series.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, we'll look back
Thank
at this
guys.
Moment.
Thank you.
Especially if the Pistons go down in five, we'll look back at this and go, that's the turning point.
Yeah.
All right, we got off course here. We're going to get to Shador next. John, as he's fallen on draft boards on night one, and then even day two, took him almost 150 picks before he heard his name called. We'll get to it next, 97.1.
Lawns are greening up. Hummers are mowing. We heard them all weekend. Leaf blowers are going. If you want a great lawn, you got to give Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service a call. 888-GET-GREEN on the phone, naturalwaylawn.com on the web. Purchase a full lawn program right now. You're going to get free grub control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. And here's why you got to call them now. We've talked about crabgrass for over a month now. It's not too late. You can go ahead and treat for it now. Dandelions, that's the next villain. Dandelions are going to rob your lawn of water and nutrients, and you need to stop them before they go to seed, because as soon as they do, they're going to spread it around the rest of your lawn. And Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service are going to treat for everything. They're not going to give you a runaround, and they're not going to tell you halfway through the year, oh, well, we've got this problem. What do you want to do about it? No, they just fix it. They tailor a solution that's specifically for your yard, your home, using high-quality products and high-quality expertise. It's locally owned and operated for over 35 years. They're involved in local charities, so keep your money local. Go with Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. 888-GET-GREEN on the phone and on the web. Again, it's naturalwaylawn.com. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Get green, stay green with Natural Way.
9 o'clock hour, we're going to get into the Lions draft. People's thoughts on it, the good, the bad, some grades that the national pundits are handing out. I don't think they understand Brad Holmes. He's not drafting from their draft board.
No, he's not. He's not taking a compilation of mock drafts and saying, oh, well, this is who everybody else thinks I should take, so I should take him.
I can't take Tyreek here because Yahoo thinks it's a reach. Yeah, he doesn't do that. So we need to have a conversation in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's talk about Shedeur Sanders, John. What did you make of his fall? Is there an easy explanation?
The explanation is he's just not a top quarterback. And if could you make an argument that he's better than Dylan Gabriel? Well, I mean, maybe you can, but that'll be settled in training camp because they're actually both on the same team.
Did the Browns set their board to auto draft? They took two quarterbacks and two running backs. It felt like the guy in your fantasy draft that didn't show up. It just, right, best available.
But, I mean, when you look at Jaxson Dart, Tyler Shuck, Jalen Milroe, even in the late third round, like there is some serious upside to Jalen Milroe. And it's a gamble. I don't think Jalen Milroe hits at the NFL level. I don't think Tyler Shuck does. I don't think any of these quarterbacks do. Cam Ward is going to get the longest leash because he was drafted 1-1. And so he'll get as much opportunity as possible, and they'll try and build things around him. But I didn't think there was a first-round quarterback in this draft. I said it last week. I didn't think Shedeur Sanders was going to be a first-round pick. Now, did I think he was going to fall all the way to the fifth round? No, but what you lose when you take a quarterback after the first round is that extra year of control, that fifth-year option. I'm always surprised that there's anybody, any quarterback taken in the second round. I know it worked out for Jalen Hurts. I get that. But that's the one-off. It's the exception to the rule. If I'm drafting and there's not a quarterback that I take in the first round, I'm probably not even looking until third or fourth round, which is when the rest of them were taken.
With Shedeur, people were frantically trying to figure it out. How could a player with a first-round grade by, for the record, no NFL teams, but talking heads in the media, how could a player with this first round grade fall as far as he did? Guys, the obvious answer is he wasn't a first round grade.
Right.
He was a 3-star quarterback coming out of high school. He is not big. He doesn't have a big arm. He's not an elite athlete. You're not getting escapability in the pocket. You're getting a guy, you want to talk about reading defenses, who pats the ball, holds it too long, and takes a lot of sacks. Now, he put up numbers in daddy's offense, but maybe he's not as good as daddy thought he was.
Well,
you get what I'm saying? Like he was maybe overinflated by the media machine, and then watching in real time as Mel Kiper, the face of that media machine, goes through the stages of grief on television at one point, throwing the entire league under the bus because they, quote, don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. Mel, let's say Shedeur's not a first-round talent because of physical limitations and he's not developmentally there. Now I throw in that he's tanking interviews. He's entitled and has an attitude problem. Now a guy who I think might be a third, I'm going to stay away from because if you don't have the physical gifts and I don't think you have the between the ears, you're off my board entirely. And I think a lot of teams didn't have him on their board.
Well, and look at what that position means. And because there's always players that are taken higher than the fifth round that don't interview well, that have off-the-field issues, that have a lot of things going on. Now, Shedeur Sanders, again, I didn't think his film or his skill set, I didn't think he was a first-round talent. As soon as you get in the second, and I think there are a lot of teams that just refuse to take quarterback in the second round because they want to take somebody who's going to contribute. A second-round quarterback is not going to contribute in year one and probably not even in year two, maybe never. But when you look at Shedeur Sanders and the quarterback position, do you want in your locker room to draft somebody like that? And I'm talking about everything that is Shedeur Sanders, all of the, and he may have a flair for the dramatic. He may have, you know, the camera just, he doesn't seek it out. It seeks him out. All of those different things. But do you want that as your backup quarterback? Do you want that media attention on your backup quarterback? Do you want to have that? I mean, look at, throughout the course of the NFL, we have seen guys that we think could be NFL quarterbacks or at least backup quarterbacks, but one of the things that has prevented them from being a backup quarterback is the media attention that they draw. It's one thing to have a backup tackle who, you know, they don't draw a whole lot of media attention.
Mm-hmm.
A backup, you know, wide receivers can because they're a little bit of a diva, defensive tackle. The spotlight on a quarterback and that position is so much different.
There is a point, you get to day three and he's not taken. And I think the Lions had like 5 day three picks before they traded up. And I at least paused and thought, would I want the Lions to take him on day three? And my immediate reaction was no. Because what I don't need is Goff throws a pick in week 2 or 3 or throws 2 or 3 picks. And Dion is starting a campaign on social media to let Shadur cook. We're trying to win a Super Bowl here. And I think there's a lot of teams that just wanted to avoid the distraction. They thought talent doesn't outweigh distraction. Oh, you don't want to work out at the combine. You don't want to work out for certain teams. You want to sit in a room that proclaims yourself a legend before you've even been drafted. Teams thought, we don't want any part of this. If we don't think you have the right attitude to overcome some of the issues from a talent standpoint, you're not draftable. If he had a good head on his shoulders and was, you know, didn't tank interviews and was a student of the game and seemed like he really wanted to win people over, I think he could have gone on day two, John. I do. But I think the combination pushed him to day three.
Yeah, I think it's all a part of it. But again, I go to the media circus surrounding him. And I don't want to get into the politics of any of this, but when Tebow was a quarterback at Denver, and then he was what with the Jets, like I think people believe that he could be a backup quarterback, maybe not a starter. But it was, as soon as he was on your roster, the conversations were always about Tim Tebow, not your starting quarterback, about the offense, not, you know, and it wasn't about that position. He just draw too much attention. It's been the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. It's all of the attention that surrounds what he would be in your locker room, not whether or not he could be a 2 or a 3, but it's the distraction that your backup quarterback provides the team.
I thought the way it was covered was borderline appalling because you had people insinuating league-wide conspiracy, hints of race. What race issue? The number one pick was a black quarterback. There's no issue with race here. This is attitude. This was entitlement.
I didn't hear much of that.
No, my point, people on the fringe, if you've ever been on the internet, people are trying to figure out why is he falling.
Oh, what's this thing?
What?
Internet?
Yeah.
If you've ever...
But Stephen A. invoked Kaepernick and talked about league-wide conspiracies. It's like, dude, he's just not that good and he's entitled. That's the answer. We don't need to spend the entirety of our draft coverage fixating on why the league doesn't like Shadur.
Yeah, and I wasn't in those interviews. I don't know if he tanked them. The reports are that he did.
Right.
Or at least didn't interview well.
So specifically, Todd McShay has discussed this, and he's still around while he's not at ESPN. He's still doing draft stuff. And he said he had heard it on good authority that Dable and the Giants gave Shadur a homework assignment. Shadur showed up, flunked the assignment, got called out, didn't like that he got called out, and it was contentious. Well, that's a team that needs a quarterback. You start doing that to enough teams, there's not enough that need a quarterback anymore. I mean, how many went just a season ago? Those teams aren't going to draft you, plus the teams that already have bona fide starters, plus the teams that don't want you as a troublesome backup. You start shrinking the pool to the teams that'll even take you. When Pittsburgh passes multiple times, when the Raiders are passing you multiple times and you're close with Tom Brady and Tom Brady's in that organization, it tells me something. It tells me you weren't good enough.
Well, I don't think he was good enough to begin with. And that's where, I mean, the decision that he made, because he still had a year of eligibility. Same thing with Quinn Ewers.
Well, that's the conversation no one's having today.
Right. These guys, and I think moving forward, there's going to be a lot of these quarterbacks that need to be a little bit more self-aware of what they're doing. They're able to make big money in college football. Quinn Ewers, it's reported that if he had entered the transfer portal, he might have drawn upwards of $8 million.
What's he going to get this year?
$800,000. Yeah. I mean, it's
himself 10 times the money.
Yeah. It's still a lot of money playing a game of football, but it's not $8 million.
Do you realize that got no publicity, though? Quinn Ewers was an elite recruit. Again, Shadur was a 3-star. Quinn Ewers was a 5-star recruit. Played at Ohio State. Well, didn't play at Ohio State, but was at Ohio State. Yep. Then played at Texas and won playoff games with the Texas Longhorns. Was not drafted until the 7th round. Did anybody lose their lunch over that on the broadcast? Did anybody go, wow, how can you not draft Quinn Ewers? No, he's a winner.
Mel Kiper wasn't pounding the table for Quinn Ewers.
No, just Jimmy Clausen. Yeah, we got receipts, Mel. 248-539-9797. Why did Shadour fall?
You're going way back.
He said he would quit if Jimmy Clausen didn't pan out.
Oh, but yet he's still doing it, isn't he?
I did appreciate Reese Davis kind of trying to rein in Mel a little bit.
He gave him all the chance in the world to just shut up.
He's like, what are you going to do? We get it. You've been doing this for 3 days now. What are you going to accomplish by scolding the entire NFL, finger wag, every single pick? How many times did he invoke other Hall of Fame quarterbacks with Shadour? Well, you know, Brett Favre wasn't the first quarterback taken in his draft. Mel.
He has the chance. He could be any of those guys. It's unlikely that he is, but he could be any of them. We'll see what happens when he hits rookie minicamp, when he hits fall camp. Does he make the team, or is he on the developmental squad? They got five of them in one of them is Deshaun Watson, who will start the season on IR.
That quarterback room is perfect for a reality TV show.
Be
you have
beautiful.
Three former first-round picks. You have an alleged sexual predator. You have the old guy in Joe Flacco. You've got two rookies. Throw in Kenny Pickett for reasons. He's there.
I mean, can they be on Hard Knocks?
Oh, that would be incredible.
That would be awesome.
We got phone calls. We'll get to the Lions in the 9 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.